station on 2 for a PAO event question.
Go ahead on 2.
Hey, I don't need an urgent answer on this, but I was looking, and I know that I have a PAO event scheduled for the lab this afternoon, and I was wondering if that needs to be in the lab or if GEM would be an option just to be less in the way.
We'll look into it and get you an answer as soon as we can.
So, yeah, no rush. Just need an answer before the event, but figured I'd put it out there so that, yeah, we could get it when the people get in. Thanks.
You got it.
Station on 2 for TNM Gather.
Go ahead on 2.
Yeah, good morning. Just wondering if I'm in the TNM Gather, and I found the 4.0 CTVs. So far, I've only found one 8.0 CTVs. This is for the MC CTVs. I'm wondering if an MO2 bag will work for that. I'm assuming maybe not since it's for SpaceX cargo, but let me know if I should keep hunting for another 8.0 if that one will work.
Checking. Station Houston on Space to Ground 2 for Jessica and PMM Gather. Station Houston on Space to Ground 2 for Jessica and PMM Gather.
Houston, station on 2 for recycle tank drain.
Go ahead on 2.
I'm in 2.14. The procedure, the UPA is configured with the switch in the drain position for recycle tank drain. You're going to proceed with command drain.
And work. Thanks.
Station Houston on 2 for PMM CTVs.
Go ahead on 2.
Puff, I don't think you called me back. I was deep in PMM, but I looked again, and I kind of teared apart the entire CTV pantry. I have not had any luck finding a second 8.0. There are 10.0s, there are MO2 bags, there are 6.0s. There's many 4.0s. I'm not sure if this is for one large item or if two 4.0s could equal an 8.0, but thus far I've not been able to find another 8.0.
We copy all. That's strange. We were expecting to find 3 8.0s in there, but we copy there's only one. No need to dig further. It is just for stuffing and mass in your upcoming Dragon cargo ops. And so the MO2 bag is going to be a little too much mass for us, so I think right now we'd like you to gather one extra 4.0 CTB. And you'll have a step where you report your serial numbers. Just add that 4.0 CTB serial number in StoTrack when you get to it.
Okay, for now I'll get one extra 4.0, and we'll look one more time for another 8.0.
Copy. Thank you. We appreciate it.
Houston, station on 2 for those 8.0 CTBs.
For the on 2, Chris.
Hey, yeah, didn't hear that they were in there. At some point, if we want to find them, if you could shoot us up what barcodes are, we can take a scan with the RFID reader and see if they're in there at some point. But if it's just for packing and stuffing, if it's okay to use 4.0s, it seems like a reasonable option.
Copy all. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for looking. Apologies that it wasn't fruitful, but we're happy just continuing with the current plan. Additionally, to answer your question earlier, you are go to use the GEM for your PAO event.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, I thought that would just be more out of the way for other people's ops, so cool. I will plan to do that. Thank you. Houston, station 2, Dragon lifting strap question.
Go ahead on 2.
Hey, I just wanted to double check. There's no constraint or preference of where the buckle of the lifting strap is there? Which face of the bag?
Checking. And Chris, as long as the buckle is centered on the face of the bag, we do not have a preference for which way it's facing.
See that, centered, but any side of the four is good. Thank you.
Good read back.
Houston, station 2, StoTrack 184.02. Just double checking that that's a typo and it should be labeled SpaceX 33, not SpaceX 32.
Affirmative, that is a typo.
Figured I probably didn't need to check, but you know what? We should check everything with SpaceX backing, so figured I'd check.
And Chris, while I got you, just wanted to let you know the recycle tank drain is complete, so you and Jack are go in step 3.1.2 of part 2 of your recycle tank activity.
Copy, go in 3.1.2, part 2 of our recycle tank. Whenever Jack is available, we'll knock that out. Thank you.
Thank you.
Houston, station 2, StoTrack 184.02.
I think Jessica was, this was the issue Jessica was having with the lack of 8.0s. I have one empty 8.0, which I labeled SpaceX R001, is the intent to use two additional 4.0s instead of that last 8.0.
And Chris, we're just going to use one 4.0 to make up for the missing 8.0.
Copy that. 1 times 4, and that is what I'll do.
And follow on, Chris. Just to be clear, in this bag, we do expect a total of 7 4.0 CTBs.
Okay, 7 4.0 CTBs. Okay, so... Okay, all right, so... okay, I think I understand. Yeah, that was a little ambiguous, because I assumed that in step 184.01, the two empty 4.0s that were already in Dragon were part of that. So thank you for clarifying that.
You got it. Station Houston on Space to Ground 2 for Chris and Stowage.
Houston, station on 2 entering for Stowage, and I also have a question for you.
All right, two things for you. We told you there would be 7 4.0 CTBs going into that bag. That is 7 originally planned and then 1 additional to replace the missing 8.0, so 8 total. Second thing, just wanted to reaffirm on step 184.04, we've got a constraint image for you so that we get the correct orientation for that ceramic manufacturing module. And I'm ready for your question.
Copy that. My question was related to your first question, yeah, because my math wasn't mapping, because in step 184.01, I get 4 4.0s, and there's 2 already in there, so that equals 6. And then I'm gathering 1 4.0 in replacing that extra 8 filler, so that gets me a total of 7 4.0s. But then don't we need an additional one to get 8? I just wanted to check what I'm counting there.
Good catch, Chris. That last bag is actually going to come from steps 184.05 and 6.
Ah, okay, that makes more sense. Yeah, because I was trying to count it up and looking at the constraint image earlier on, and I was like, I don't have enough. I don't get it. So, okay, cool. Thank you.
Yeah, don't feel bad. It took us a minute on the ground to figure that out as well.
Sounds good. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Station Houston on Space to Ground 2 for Chris and Stowage. Location.
Go ahead on 2 for Chris, and you might also be beating me with a question.
Yeah, so the current location, I think, for the bag you're looking for right now is Lab in Stowtrack. However, we had Jessica grab that earlier, and it should be in Node 2 deployed somewhere.
Copy that, yeah. And Lab 1 Overhead 4 Bravo 2 does have a SpaceX return bag, but it's a 1.0. A 3.0 wouldn't fit there, so something's weird. Okay, but I'll take a look in Node 2.
Thanks.
Houston, station on 2 for Stowage. So I just chatted with Jessica, and in Node 2 is 3.0-5069, which has the RGA. And per step 184.04, I think I'm looking for SpaceX Return 5, which is a 3.0J3004.
Checking.
Houston, station on 2. Is it possible that this bag is in the PMM D2, this SpaceX Return number 5?
Yeah, I think you're getting ahead of us. Great catch. We do think this might be at the PMM Deck 2 rack front. And it may be possible for you to sneak into PMM for the next couple of minutes.
Yeah, let me check with Sophie and A-Rig K, but I will see what we can do. Houston, station on 2, closing the loop. I was able to get 3.0-J3004, and it was, yeah, PMM D2.
Awesome. Handling that for us.
And station on 2 for recycle tank drain.
We're with you on 2.
Just finishing up this procedure, 5.6, the brine supply line QD is demated from the bladder QD. And the fill drain valve is in the full position, and the UPA fill drain valve compressor port cap is not installed.
That's a good config. Thank you.
Scuba, good day. This is station on 2 for the electrostatic levitation furnace. I am looking for your go in step 2.1.
Hey, thanks, Chris. I'm Space Ground 2. Yes, ELF and MSCO2 has been deactivated and more than 30 minutes has passed. So you are go at step 2.1.
Fantastic. Copy a go in step 2.1. Thank you.
Good copy. Thank you.
Nick, station on 2 for RX Pro smartwatch troubleshooting.
Go ahead on 2. Where with you?
Hi, I was just wondering if there's any issue with getting started on this activity a little bit early.
Well, you can start anytime.
Wonderful, thanks. I'm going to get started now. Thank you.
Phil, this is station on 2. Jack's working on the ultrasound prep, looking for good hardware connectivity in step 3.2.
Copy that. We are checking. Stand by. Jack, Huntsville's back with you. While we're waiting to check on the connectivity, could you check in with the folks on Space Ground 4 for a few words?
Yes. Munich, station on 2 for RX Pro watch charging. This is station on 2 for RX Pro watch checking, charging.
And Chris, we are with you on 2. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I went through the procedure, but I was getting some very strange results. So I plugged in watch SN2 with cable SN2, and what I found is that I would get intermittent charging, irrespective of which port on the multi-port charger I plugged into. It would display charging, and then it would kind of go off, and then I would unplug and replug it, and it would go back to charging, charge for some period of time, and then go off. I tried switching, I tried all the permutations of watches and charging cables, and I found that it actually happened for all of them. It seemed like it happened more frequently for cable 2, but and I tried different ports. It didn't seem to depend on the port on the multi-port charger. However, they're now both plugged in. One is plugged into cable 1, 2 is plugged into cable 2, and they seem to be charging stably. But it seems like a very intermittent problem and not a clear diagnosis, unfortunately.
Hey, Chris, we copy. That's very good feedback. And just to add on that, it's known that these Garmin proprietary connectors are a little bit fragile, so this kind of matches what we have seen on ground as well. Thanks a lot for this very comprehensive report, and thanks a lot also for your time that you put into that.
Yeah, absolutely. So it looks like both watches are charging now. Next time I float by, I'll just give them a look and see if they need a little wiggle or reseat to get fully charged.
Thanks a lot. That is really much appreciated.
No problem. Glad to help. Huntsville, I think, station on 2 for PTLS.
With you on 2, Chris.
Yeah, I just had a big picture question since we do this PTLS power on and off a lot. Is it how sensitive is this to exact timing? I was going to get into some Dragon cargo ops, but figured if I could do the power on early, it'd be just easier to do it now. Totally happy to do it on time, too.
Hey, Chris, copy the question. Yeah, with the constraints we have, let's do that on time today, and we'll investigate if we can modify that at all in the future.
Okay, yeah, sure. Yeah, I mean, it's no issue to do it on time. Since we do it a lot, and sometimes it's just, easier to, not break up activities, to just, knock it out when you have convenience. So, I'll do it on time today, and we'll leave that as an open question for later. Thank you. And sorry, Huntsville, one other related question. Does the order of which one you do first matter, or could you just do the after forward one in either order?
Hey, Chris, copy that question. We do not, that does not matter the order.
Copy all. Good info. Thanks.
Houston, station on 2 for Stotrac, step 180. 4.07.
We're following along.
Maybe a silly question, but I saw the note and the confusion that this is labeled RGA failed SN02, but it's actually 05. Do you want me to just put the correct label on this Hefty bag, or do you want to keep it with the wrong label?
Checking. Chris, thank you. We like that recommendation. Yes, we'd appreciate it if it was changed from 2 to 5.
Copy that. Yeah, it currently also has the barcode listed on the outside. I'll just cross that out, and I'll just say RGA failed SN05 on it in big letters. Does that work?
That sounds great. Thank you. Station Houston on Space to Ground 2 for Sophie and Camera. Station Houston on Space to Ground 2 for Sophie and Node 3 Camera.
From Node 3, listening.
Hey Sophie, as we understand, the Node 3 camera is not feeding down to the ground, so we would like it if you could please check the cables, make sure everything is mated up properly on the camera.
Yeah, I just checked that. Everything is mated properly. I also rebooted, like turned the camera off and on again. And on the camera side, everything seems nominal.
All right, thank you, Sophie. We're checking to see if that resolved the problem. If not, I've got some follow-up steps that I'll pass up.
Appeal.
Houston, station on 2 with just a big picture dragon stowage question.
It's standby 1, Chris. Station Houston on Space to Ground 2 for Sophie and Camera.
Sophie's listening.
Hey, Sophie. We would like it, since the cable mating was no joy, if you could power cycle the encoder. I've got a procedure when you're ready to copy.
Yes, I am ready to copy.
All right, that's 12.199 HD encoder power cycle.
12.199 HD encoder power cycle. Oh, I'm on it.
Thank you. And Station Houston on 2 for Chris and stowage.
And Houston Station on 2 for that stowage. If you're ready to copy question.
We are ready.
Yeah, this is just sort of a big picture question. So there's space is kind of tight in Dragon, so I'm trying to pack this 8.0 in place. And so I just wanted to make sure I big picture understood. It's going to be hard to do a squish test, and big picture goal here with packing it with foam is to make sure that it doesn't deform with strapping. Is that basically the idea, and that it'll be firmly in place? I'm just wondering, the RGA kind of has a funny geometry, and I'm wondering whether, you know, how tightly I should pack foam in around the corners of the sort of the voids of the RGA. That's basically what I'm wondering. Or should I concentrate on making sure that where the straps cross, it's not going to deform in?
All right, we copy your question. Give us just a second to mull it over.
Copy that. I'm sorry, just to maybe be extra explicit, there's a bottom corner of the bag where the RGA kind of dips in that isn't going to impact the strapping or security of the strapping at all, whether that corner is, like, super packed full, and I was wondering whether I should super pack it full or just that it's okay if it's just kind of lightly packed.
Copy. Thanks for the clarification. And Chris, back with you. Our intention is that the straps are able to get a good bite of the bag so that nothing slips around. So as long as you're confident that we are holding the bag firmly, then you can pack it as you see fit.
Copy. Well, that's what I thought. I just wanted to make sure. Thank you. Appreciate it. Yeah, just it'll save some time without having to, you know, slice and dice a bunch of foam to kind of fit it in these kind of oddly shaped voids of the RGA. So thanks.
Thanks for the question. Yeah, we don't want you to have to spend a lot of time doing arts and crafts up there.
Yeah, much appreciated. Thanks.
Houston from Cynthium 2, the encoder has been power cycled.
Houston copies. Sophie, give us just a second to investigate to see if that fixed the problem.
Houston, station on 2 for Dragon Packing.
Go ahead on 2.
Hey, I just uploaded some photos for step 185 onto SSC 25. We're going to continue getting the strapping done, but if I think you guys said that in one of the daily summaries that maybe you're doing real-time review, because I think we should hopefully be able to get to closing out this layer soon.
Awesome. Thank you very much for the photos. We won't be able to review those until after your midday meal, but we do appreciate it.
Okay, cool. We're going to continue pressing in steps 186, 187, hopefully maybe through 190, but it would probably make sense to hold off on installing the middle bridges until after you guys have reviewed it, is my guess.
Hey, Chris, back with you. We like that plan of you continuing. Two comments. One, you've got an 8.0 packed in with a bunch of 4.0s, and we're expecting that 8.0 to be flush with the rest of the 4.0s, so that whenever we put the net over the top of it, that net is flat. And two, the bridge step, today we're just doing a fit check. So it's got pit pins that should be easy to put in and take out.
Still station Jack on 2, looking for a go for ultrasound 3 power off.
Jack, with you on 2, you've got a go for ultrasound power off.
Yes, sir, in work.
Houston station on 2 for dragon packing.
Go ahead on 2.
Hey, I just put some photos for step 190 on SSC 25, and do you think the bags are super secure? Jessica's taking a look at it as well, but some of the bags are pretty reasonably indented by the straps just when you super tighten them down. I think it's the recipe of using CTBs for filler material. They kind of squish in funny ways as you get these straps super tight. So let us know what you think, but we've got those photos on SSC25.
All right. We will take a look at the photos. I did have a couple of notes for you. One, we were watching you on the video, and the 8.0 CTB, I think we're going to want that as flush with the 4.0 CTBs as you can make it. From our perspective, it looked like it kind of stood up a little bit higher than the 4.0s, so that whenever we put the net over all of that, that net is as flat as possible. To the bridges, today we were just looking for a fit check with those bridges, and we thought that would be an easy on, easy off task. And why we want those bridges not installed is because they block the upper aft portion, which is going to be needed to be accessed on undock day.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so I guess what advice would you have for that 8.0? Because I'm not sure we could get any more, I'm not sure we could move those, I'm not sure we have any room to shift stuff laterally. Would you want us to take out one of the filler 4.0s from that 8.0?
We'll take a look at the photos and see if there's any adjustment that's needed. So no adjustment at this time. We'd rather press with the bridge fit check.
Copy. All right. And could you guys see on the video like the alignment of the rings and that gift wrapping? If you have any concerns with that. I mean, I think from my perspective, those bags feel like they're not moving at all, but there's definitely some indentation and the rings aren't like perfectly square or flush.
Chris, we did see a little bit in the video, but we will check the photos before we make a final determination on that. And again, with the 8.0, it may have just been our perspective.
Well, we felt the same thing. We felt it was bumped up a little bit. We kind of noticed that, you know, if you kind of put your weight on it and braced and basically kind of tried to squat, do a full force squat on it, but it squishes down. I mean, the problem is it's like it's kind of compressible. So, yeah, just because of the content. So we felt like it would squish down a little bit, but yeah, it was kind of. But we definitely did feel it was sticking up a little bit too. So we made some adjustments as we could.
Awesome. Well, thanks for everything.
Sensation on 2 for Dragon Cargo.
Go ahead on 2.
Puff, I know Chris just spoke to you about that 8.0. There's one other thing we wanted you guys to check. I put it in the crew comments and StoTrack, but I can also read it down if you guys haven't seen that yet.
We're ready to copy.
Yeah. So the things we wanted you to check were the 8.0, like Chris said, it's kind of protruding in toward the center of the vehicle, but we think it's really just filler, so that area does seem compressible, so we think it might be okay. But obviously the next steps will reveal that. And then also the second thing is one of the rings. The one on the aft side of 4.05195. Those rings are supposed to be flat on the center of the bag, and on that one, it's not exactly flat and not exactly on the center of the bag. It's more biased toward the center of the vehicle. But we thought because of the contents of the bag, like basically there's something that's really stiff in the middle, and then it's more compressible on the outside, so we can get it tighter. So we thought that actually might be more secure. But if you guys don't think so, we can try to reroute that one.
All right, we are going to default to your judgment here. If you think it's more secure that way, we like it. We will send the imagery to SpaceX, have them review it, and let you know if we need a change.
Sounds good. One other small note, strap J, I think it was, pretty sure it was J, wasn't knotted, like the end of it was, strap was not knotted back like it's supposed to be in the photos, but it is done now, so no need to comment on that one. And all of that description is in crew comments in step 190.
Copy all. Thank you very much.
The next steps that have us checking the state of the middle bridges. I'm assuming, when do you think that we would get an answer on that? Just because obviously we don't want to proceed past that if we think we're going to have to redo some of it.
Checking. And Jessica, if I understand your question correctly, we're ready for you to do the fit check now. There's no need to wait for the imagery analysis. Does that answer your question?
Okay, yeah, we can do that fit check in the next steps then. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Station Munich on Space to Ground 2 for Sophie for ARED-K.
Munich on 2, Sophie listening.
Hey, Sophie, it seems like we've lost the privatized space to ground, so we're trying to get that fixed, and then you'll have CADGOS enabled again.
Hey, guys, I'm on standby.
Station Munich on space to ground 2 for Jessica for ARED-K.
Go ahead, on 2.
Hey, Jessica, we are slightly running behind on ARED-K, hence your ARED-K stowage activity will have to be shifted to the right for about 20 minutes. If you could stand by on starting that activity until 20 minutes to the right of that start time, this will also affect Sergei's ARED exercise, which will also be shifted once you are completed with your stowage.
Okay, we copy all. I'll keep in touch with Sophie, and I've got other flexible things to do to knock out in the meantime. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you for your support.
Jim Houston on 2 for Hygiene Health.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just looking at that activity, and I'm doing a little bit of a tally. Just so that you guys know, I did count the number of unopened Ziploc bags, and we had reported there is one open bag. And that one does have 3 in it, and I see the instructions to double bag that one, and I will. There is one other open one. That was the one that we have been using when we stopped using the one that was open. And there are also 3 in that. I did, and others did, use those from that bag yesterday, and they were okay. But per the instructions, you guys want us to bag up all of those to return and no longer use any of the hygiene towels from that CTV?
Checking. Give us just 1 minute, Jessica. I'll get you a good answer.
Hey, sounds good.
Station Houston on Space to Ground 2 for Jessica and towels.
Yes.
Hey, thanks for your patience. Sorry about the delay there. What we would like to do with these towels is the Ziploc that contained the bad towels, we want to go ahead and bag those up. Then the Ziploc containing the good towels, we're currently debating what we want to do with all of those because the bad towels came from the same lot as other towels around the station. And so we're going to come up with a plan for you and get back to you later today about whether we want to bag up the Ziploc that you've already opened that had good towels in it or collect even more from around station.
Okay, in the meanwhile, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to take both the suspect bag and the other open bag, and I'm going to put them together in one additional Ziploc, and then I'm going to put them all in the CTB per the stow note, so we'll assume that they're all being returned, and then we can go back and get them if need be. So those will both be in additional Ziplocs, and they'll be in that CTB. And I'm preparing a crew note right now with all of the other answers.
Awesome. We love that plan. Thank you.
Houston, station on 2 for PAO events.
With you on two. Go ahead, Chris.
Hello. I am just double-checking. We're okay with moving the event to the gym, and I've got Gym Cam 1 set up, and I'm actually ready whenever you guys are for a scene invoice.
Confirm we're good with gym, and stand by for scene invoice. All right, Chris, we are happy with the video feed, and we're ready for a 10 count. All right, Chris, great job counting to 10, and the mic's all synced, so we are happy with voice and video. Copy, thumbs up.
Copy all. Thank you. Glad my mathematical abilities continue to astound.
Station, this is Houston. Are you ready for the event?
Hello, Houston. I am ready for the event.
Luke Lukert, this is Mission Control Houston. Please call station for a voice check.
Station, this is Luke Lukert with WTOP Radio. How do you hear me? Station, this is Luke Lukert with WTOP Radio. How do you hear me?
Station, this is Houston ACR with the ComCheck. Can you hear us?
I can hear you loud and clear. How me?
Loud and clear. Stand by, please.
Station, this is Luke Lukert with WTOP Radio. How do you hear me?
Hi, Luke. I hear you loud and clear. Look forward to speaking with you.
Excellent. I'm looking forward to speaking with you. And I'm just going to took off for this mission, and you were excited to be in space. So tell us, you've been in space for a couple of months. How is it?
Oh, yeah, I've been, I'm approaching 3 months in space now, which is hard to believe, but it's been a really wonderful experience. You know, the first couple weeks, your body is still adapting to weightlessness, and you're still adapting to the pace of life working on space station. You know, we have a lot of experiments, a lot of just maintenance and activities going on, and, you know, it's a very different pace of life from what I'm used to on Earth, so... You know, it takes a few weeks to get into the rhythm of things, but it's been an awful lot of fun and really satisfying. You know, it's something you train for a long time, and it feels really nice to be doing it and to feel like you're really doing it at a high level and contributing to our mission up here.
Excellent. And you have a pretty expansive background, not only in astrophysics, but the medical side of physics. And there's a lot of research going on the space station dealing with both. Just kind of tell us some of the stuff you're working on while you're on ISS.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, as you said, my background is in mostly in physics, but touching from astronomy and astrophysics through medicine. But one of the cool things that we get to do as astronauts is, you know, our role up here is to really be the hands, eyes, and ears of hundreds of, if not thousands, of researchers from around the U.S. and around the world. And so we get to participate in all sorts of different experiments. Just this last week, I was helping to do some work on an experiment where we're looking at the physics of different of non-condensable fluids at different temperatures, and helping to set up that experiment. And that's going to help inform us how we can store different fuels for future space travel. I was also helping to work on an experiment where we're a biology experiment where we're looking at ultraviolet light and how that affects the formation of biofilms, which will help us learn better about water purification. I'm also one of the I think some of the most interesting experiments are where we're both the helping the scientists, but are also the experimental subjects. So research where we're looking at things like how does microgravity affect the human body, things like how our bones get affected by weightlessness, which can help us understand back on Earth. Not only help us understand future space travel, but help us understand things like aging on Earth and folks that have limited mobility, how their bones might get impacted. So those are just kind of a smattering of the things I've been working on science-wise in the past few weeks, and it's great to be able to do that and to kind of bring my background to bear in all these different areas.
So you guys are not only doing experiments, you guys are also the experiment.
Yep, that's absolutely right, and which makes it extra fun.
And you grew up here in the Capital area in Potomac, Maryland. Tell us your journey and about how growing up in the D.C. area led you to become an astronaut.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I grew up. In Maryland. I would often listen to you guys in the radio in the car. So I know WTOP well. Yeah, I think there were a few things that growing up in the DC area really helped me with on my journey to ending up here and to becoming an astronaut. I think I had a lot of really amazing educational opportunities. I went to public school, Montgomery County Public Schools, and just had an absolutely fantastic education and just a lot of opportunities. I went to Montgomery Blair High School, and the science education that I got there was just, I think, just absolutely unparalleled. And it really helped me from a young age realize the extent of what you could do as a scientist. And the other thing that I was able to take advantage of was just the immense resources in the Capital Region. In high school, I got an internship at the Navy Research Lab in D.C., and I was actually working on
on astronomy. I was working with a professional astronomer and just as a summer job as a high school student. And, you know, not that many places have opportunities like that for high schoolers to work as a scientist. That really made me, you know, nobody in my family was a scientist. And seeing that as a high schooler, you know, what does a scientist do? How do they do it? That was something that gave me the confidence to think that, hey, maybe this is something that I could pursue as a career. I think the other thing that's really special about the capital area is just the diversity that there is. You know, as an astronaut, I'm standing right now in the Japanese module. I'm staring at the European module. The station is a collaboration with the Russian Space Agency. So you're working with folks from all over the world, and the diversity and just the diversity of the Washington area, I think, was really helpful in just being prepared to work with people from all sorts of different backgrounds and to be able to thrive in that kind of environment. So I think those are some of the things that I think were really special about the UCR that really helped me to get here.
Excellent. And, you know, a lot of children grow up wanting to become astronauts. You talk to a lot of them, and they say that that's their number one job. What advice would you give them for the kids who want to become an astronaut?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and that was me as a kid. You know, I think the biggest piece of advice I would have is to you know, keep your dream and keep being curious and follow it. You know, I think I will say I think I got very, you know, you need to have a fair bit of luck to end up as an astronaut, but you also need to work really hard and to put yourself in a position to take advantage if that luck were to come around. And I know for me, I think by the time I was around age 11, I was like, being an astronaut, that's not realistic. There's not any, you know, there's so few astronauts, but the idea of space exploration still inspired me and led me to pursue science, which I don't think I would have been able to do if I hadn't had this dream of being an astronaut. And so what I would say is follow that dream because it'll take you someplace really interesting and it'll inspire you to be your best self. And so keep following your dream and, you know, you never know what might happen. If you follow your dream, you'll put yourself in a good position to take advantage of any opportunities that come up.
I think your story is a great example of following that dream, and it takes you to different places. You're interested in astrophysics and studied that, and then you switched over to medical physics. How does that occur? What led you to that field?
Yeah, that's a really great question. So, you know, as a kid, I always wanted to be an astronaut, and that led me to having an interest in physics and astronomy and space in general. And to be an astronomer, you really are working as a physicist. And so I developed this love of physics. And while I was in graduate school doing astronomy research, I also actually the year before I went to graduate school, I continued actually took a year off and worked at the Naval Research Lab and also at Goddard Space Flight Center in Greenbelt. So sort of local, taking a year off between college and graduate school, and I volunteered at the end of the day. You know, you had directly and immediately helped somebody, and so I kind of got this bug in my head that medicine is something that was really interesting to me. And towards the end of graduate school, I'd never heard of medical physics before as a career option, but heard about it through one of my friends, and I thought, hey, this could be a really great way to match my love of physics and love of that type of science with helping people. And that's what led me to switch to medical physics.
And you are aboard of the ISS now, been there for 3 months, have a couple of months left to go. Just tell us what life is like aboard the ISS. I know it's not the biggest living quarters for you guys there. So just tell us what it's like living there and, again, living there with people from around the world.
Yeah, it's a really fun time up here. You know, we work pretty hard and we work long hours, but it's really great because we're also supported by a huge team on the ground from all over the world that helps us to get our mission done. It's not the biggest space, but it's actually pretty spacious. There's seven of us up here right now, and the way that people describe it is it's, you know, maybe similar to the size of a five-bedroom house. So, you know, it's like living with roommates, but I never, you know, I feel like I've got plenty of space. We have a relatively busy day. We're kind of working on various experiments, 7:30 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. But we do get a few hours every day to exercise, which is really important for keeping your body in good shape in weightlessness, so that when we return to Earth, we're able to, you know, we can get back up and walking pretty soon. But every day is different, and the experiments we work on are all very different. Some days we're really focused on maintaining and fixing systems or upgrading systems on the space station. Other days we're doing more science. Some days we're getting ready for spacewalks. So it's all a lot of variety, which also keeps it really fun.
Sounds like you have to be a science Swiss Army knife while you're up there.
Absolutely. It's honestly one of the things I think is most fun about being an astronaut is you really are a jack of all trades. And, you know, I was working on fixing or maintaining the water reclamation system this morning. I'm going to be doing some science in a glove box tomorrow. And it just keeps it exciting because it's not the same thing every day. Every day is different.
Excellent. And tell us just a little bit about one thing I've always been curious about is, how do you guys sleep? Obviously, you got gravity, so you can't sleep on a bed. So how do you sleep and just stay in one spot rather than just floating around the space station and bumping into things?
Yeah, that's a great question, and one we get a lot. So we all have individual rooms or sleeping quarters. It's about the size of I'll show my age. It's about the size of a telephone booth, but it's your own sort of room. And the sleeping bag is actually sort of standing up on the wall of the room, which, it feels strange at first, but it's a sleeping bag, kind of like a mummy sleeping bag for camping, where you're strapped into it and it has a little bit of a hood. And it actually has some holes that you can stick your arms out if you want. And so you're actually, are up on the wall, but because of weightlessness, being floating on the wall is just about the same as lying down on a bed. It's actually very comfortable. It feels, floating in the space station feels like floating in a swimming pool in some senses. And so it's actually been some of the most comfortable sleep of my life.
I imagine it can get real dark up there. So that's a pretty nice little added benefit.
Yeah, absolutely. Although we've got so many laptops and so much scientific equipment around the station, there's lots of LEDs around. But in our crew quarters, you can get nice and dark.
And I heard that you were interested in photography and really interested in taking photos of the Earth personally while you were up there. Just tell us how that's going and, tell us, I imagine it's a beautiful sight being suspended above the Earth, being able to look down on it.
Absolutely. It's been one of the things that just I thought was going to be incredibly breathtaking and, I mean, has lived up and if not exceeded all expectations. We do have some downtime in the evenings and on the weekends, and I try to use as much of that as I can to look out the window because it's just such a special view. From up here at around 250 miles up, you can plainly see the curve of the Earth, and you can plainly see entire countries underneath you in one view, and it's one of those things where it's looking out the window, it's hard to capture just the scale and the just beauty of our planet. And so it's been a lot of fun to try to learn more about photography, to try to capture as much of that as possible to share with folks back home, because it's such a special viewpoint. I want to share it with as many people as I can. Some of the things I've been most excited about taking photos of have been some of the incredible northern lights or aurora borealis that we've been able to see up here. It's just absolutely breathtaking, and it's something I'm really excited to share with folks around the world.
That's incredible. I imagine seeing those northern lights is quite beautiful. Any other sites that you've taken pictures of that you've just been kind of blown away by? Obviously, D.C. would be a great one to take a picture of, but there's probably a lot of light pollution. Anything else? I imagine you've seen the Great Wall of China, all that kind of stuff as well.
Yeah, I've actually gotten a couple good pictures of D.C. already. I took one right after the big snowstorm that we just had, and it's really cool because you could kind of see the whole area blanked in white, but the outlines of the city streets become very clear because of where the plows have been. So that's kind of a neat thing to see. But you mentioned light pollution. Actually, one of my favorite things to do has been to take pictures of cities at night. I think that the planet just looks so beautiful at night, where you can see the patterns of cities and where sort of humans live. That's been, I think, really special to me, because it also makes me feel connected to, you know, the people back on Earth. It makes me feel very connected to that. But you can get just very beautiful views of the patterns of city lights and the lights along, you know, along rivers. One really cool one is the Nile River. As you fly over that, you can see it's at night. It almost looks like a band of light that traverses through Africa, because that's where a lot of people live, just sort of in the area right near the river. So it's just really beautiful to see.
And before I let you go, anything else you'd like our listeners to know?
I think, you know, one of the things, you know, I'd love to say is that it was really, D.C. was a really wonderful place to grow up. And there's so many things that you can take advantage of with the museums and the culture and just the all of the resources of the area. Like, it's a great place to grow up, and I really miss it and look forward to coming back to it when I'm back down on Earth in a few months. So, been really great.
Well, Chris, we look forward to welcoming you back to the city and hope to see you soon. Good luck on your mission, and see you in a couple of months.
Absolutely. It's been a real pleasure talking to you, and I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day.
You too, sir. Take care.
Station, this is Houston ACR. That concludes the event. Thank you.
Thank you to all participants. Station, we are now resuming operational audio communications.
Station Huntsville on spacecraft 24, Chris and Sophie. This is your hand pass reminder with a rise time of 14:56.
And Huntsville, Chris copies on 2, 14:56. We'll be ready. Houston, station on 2 for the flush tank fill.
Hey, with you on 2, Chris. You have a go in step 2.2. And one other note for you while I have you. When you're done with this activity, with the terminate activity on the back end, I recommend you restow the 1.0 CTB on the toilet side of the stall instead of the WHC side of the stall.
Yep, I actually already did that because I saw that Sophie was all set. Copy the go in 2.2. I'll probably be a few minutes late getting it started. We're just doing last calls.
No problem. Sounds good to us. Thanks.
Unique from Sophie on 2.
Sophie on 2, Sophie.
Just wanted to have on procedure 2.006 for ARID K stowage with monitor and keyboards. I need to have your go for in step 2.1.1 for switching off the acquisition unit.
And you have a go. Copy.
Houston station on 2, the WHC manfill init time was 15:56.
Houston copies 1556.
Station on 2 for radiator imagery.
Go ahead on 2, Jessica.
Hey, just so you know, I forgot to call down that survey was complete, the first one that was on Jack's timeline, and I did use put audio files, but I also left a crew note which describes the main areas of damage, some which I know we know about, but some I'm not sure if we know about or not.
Excellent. Thank you very much, and we'll take a look.
Thanks.
From Unique is with you on 2.
Just a quick question for the ARID K storage. Can you confirm that the acquisition unit stays connected to the Ethernet cable and the Ethernet cable stays in place? Just have a doubt. Because now I only have on the wall of Note 3 the acquisition unit as well as the Ethernet cable. All of the other cables are away.
And Sophie, so that is correct that the Ethernet cable and the acquisition unit should stay deployed. In addition to that, there should be the power cable connecting the acquisition unit to the inverter serial number 1041. And that would be port J4.
Okay, so that's all correct. That's all correct and good config now.
And just to ensure, you do have a power cable as well?
I do confirm I have both power cable and Ethernet cable out and connected to the acquisition unit.
Awesome. That is great config. Thank you.
You do.
Station Houston on 2 for Chris. FYI, on your iPad, we reloaded your troublesome app, so it might be working for you now.
Awesome. Thanks. Much appreciated. Houston Station on 2 for ultrasound setup.
With you on 2, go ahead.
Hey, I've got ultrasound 3 powered up, and I tapped toggle streamer and just wanted to check if there's good hardware connectivity.
We have good hardware connectivity, and we are ready for you on Space to Ground 4.
All right, I'll hop over to 4 and finish the setup. Thank you.
Station Houston on 2 for Dragon Cargo. Actually, I'm calling Houston. This is Station.
I know who you are. Go ahead on 2 for Dragon Cargo.
Seriously channeling my Capcom vibes on that call, Eric. We are just wondering if you have anything from SpaceX, if we should try to start troubleshooting a little bit, or if we should just wait for another day or back in.
Yeah, that's a good question. So our current plan was to update tomorrow's StowTrack activities with some updates to help solve those issues. But we can get you those words today if you'd like.
I think if there's anything that you think would give us some better info for tomorrow's work, then we could take that something, you know, on the order of like 15, 20, 30 minutes max or so. We are happy to do that now. Otherwise, we can troubleshoot tomorrow. But if it's something that, you know, we can knock out and give you data for that would help us tomorrow, then we're definitely happy to do that.
We copy all. We can get a message on board in 15 minutes here with some steps.
Okay, sounds good. Then we'll try to take a look at it.
In work.
Missile station on 2 for LSG.
Hansel's with you on 2. Go ahead, Jessica.
Workstation is deployed.
We copy. Thanks for your help.
You're very welcome. Have a good one.
Station Houston on 2 for Jessica and StowTrack.
Go ahead.
We have message 292 on board for you to look at. Based on our understanding of the problem and the issues we've seen before, we think this addresses your concerns with Dragon right now. Take a look at message 292 and let us know if that will help solve the problem.
So Chris and I just did take a look at it, and actually those were the exact recommendations that we were going to suggest, you know, maybe even before we strapped it down. So I think that that will help significantly. And our plan, just so you guys are tracking, we are going to not hit it anymore tonight, but Chris and I are going to have a little joint time first thing in the morning tomorrow so that we can try to tackle it and see if we have any remaining problems. So that way, when we're working independently throughout the day, we can execute that and or get more assistance from you guys as needed.
Love when great minds think alike, and that plan sounds perfect to us. Have a great evening.
Awesome. Thanks so much. I had one other quick question related to that. You know, one of the things I just wanted to see if you guys had any feedback on whether you thought any of the other bags were too indented by the straps and needed any adjustments, or if that was all okay. I mean, my assessment was that they were all pretty darn secure, but, you know, definitely the straps were indenting, and some of the gift wrap straps, you know, as a result of that weren't, like, you know, perfect like the pictures, and I just wanted to get a big picture, like, are we on the right track, or do you think we need to address those at the same time that we're in there?
We're talking about standby.
Copy, thanks. Yeah, I think, like, one of them, for example, that we were just wondering about was 4.05195, but there was a couple of them.
Yeah, so we're still talking, we'll work the detailed photo reviews per our normal process and get you any specific feedback we have, but right now we don't have any notes for you. So you can proceed as you have been.
Okay, copy. Yeah, we'll proceed as we have been, and we figured if we're going in there and addressing it, we might as well address everything in that layer before tidying it up again.
We understand, and thank you very much.
Awesome, thanks. Have a good rest of the shift, and look forward to working with everybody tomorrow.
Station Munich on Space to Ground 2 for Sophie at your convenience.
So station on 2 for one follow-up question on the hygiene towels.
You on 2, go ahead.
Eric, of course, we told you we had nothing for DPC, and now we have all these questions. We were just wondering, you know, I did that earlier activity for the hygiene towels, so the unopened ones. However, I just wanted to remind you that we do have those two actual moldy ones, and they are, you know, multiple bags, and they're temp stowed to the PMM, so eventually we'll need some words on what to do with those. Or maybe they just can be triple bagged and put in the wet trash. I guess, were you planning on returning those as well?
Yeah, hang on just a second, Jessica. Let me get you an answer.
Houston, station on 2, looking for a go for the ultrasound 3 power-off.
Chris, you have a go.
Thank you kindly.
All right, station Houston on 2 for Jessica and Moldy Sals.
Take a message for her on it. And Houston Station on 2, I can take those words for Jessica on the multi towels.
Yeah, sorry, standby 1, give me just another minute.
Yep, no worries.
All right, Station Houston on 2 for multi towels for real this time.
On 2.
Hey, Jessica, so what we think you should do with the 2 multi towels you asked about was to add them to that 1.0 CTV 5575 that's stored in the PMA right now for return. On the other 3 towels in that CTV that are clean, don't have mold, you were asking about earlier, we'd still prefer that you keep those in the CTV for return. We think we've got plenty on board to last for enough time.
Okay, all good. That works for us. I will add those 2 moldy towels in lots of bags in that CTV. Thank you.
All righty. Thank you for bearing with us.
Alright,
have a good
one. Station
M2. And Munich is with you on 2, Sophie. Thank you for calling us back. I just wanted to let you know that thank you to Chris. All the smartwatches are now fully charged and stowed in their kits. So if you'd like, you can actually wear again your smartwatch as you want over the weekend starting this evening. We are preparing a task list with all the needed references, which you should be able to see tomorrow.
That is amazing. Thank you very much to all teams for being so reactive. I love it. Thank you.
No problem at all. And just for your reference, you can use the serial number 1, which has an ID ending with 147 at the back of the watch. So that is the one that you can wear. And if you could also just please track the time of when you don and doff and power it on and off in your pre-sleep activity for this evening, that would be wonderful.
I'll report all this in a crew note, and thank you very much.
Thank you, Sophie. Have a great evening.
Bye-bye.